This is the SF Signal Podcast, the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal Podcast, and I keep forgetting to say that, and if I don't say it, John DiNardo will not give me my cookie. This is the SF Signal Podcast that won a Hugo Award. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm your host. I'm an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. And tonight, I have a very special guest with me. We are both living in Colorado, and we're going to Mile High Con, and so we kind of want to talk about that. But we want to talk about other stuff, too. Now, Jean, I didn't ask you how to pronounce your last name.
It's Stein.
Stein. So Jean, yes. Stein is the national best-selling author of the urban fantasy series The Anna Strong Vampire Chronicles. Her character Anna Strong received a RT Reviewer's Choice Award for Best Urban Fantasy Protagonist in 2008 and was nominated again in 2011 and 2014. Anna Strong was named one of Paranormal Fantasy's top 10 ass-kicking heroines by Barnes & Noble's reviewer Paul Ghost Allen in 2013. And folks who listen to this podcast know that that's the exact kind of heroine I like. Jean also has more than a dozen short story credits, including the novella Blood Debt from the New York Times bestselling anthology Hexed in 2011. Her short stories have been published in collections here and in the UK. The ninth in the Anna Strong series, Blood Bond, debuted in August last year, and Cursed, the first in a new series written with Samantha Summersby under the S.J. Harper pseudonym, debuted in October. Reckoning, the second in the Fallen Siren series, will be released October 7th. Something tells me that that could be Angels.
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
We'll have to talk about that.
Okay.
Jean lives in Denver, which is not far from me, where she's active in the writing community, belonging to the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers, where she was honored by winning the Writer of the Year Award in 2008, and is nominated again in 2011. Romance Writers of America, Sisters in Crime, and Horror Writers of America. So she's part of all of those. She's taught numerous conferences and online academies. And this year, 2014, in October, what is it, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, something like that.
Right.
She's going to be Toastmaster at Mile High Con 46?
I think so.
I believe it is 46.
I believe it is.
How are you?
Fine, thank you, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know what? I survived the hail.
Oh, well, one of our cars got really beat up, so I know. So if anybody out there knows a place where they pound out hail dents.
Oh, my gosh. It was bad.
It was bad. Terrible.
People who don't know Colorado, we basically, you know, we'll have sunshine and then rain and then sunshine and then snow and then sunshine and then some more rain and then some hail and then some sunshine. And then, you know, after breakfast.
Right. Well, that's why they say if you don't like the weather, you wait 20 minutes and it's going to change.
It's going to change.
Right.
And yesterday afternoon as we're recording this, so we're recording this on a Tuesday, Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock, something like that. Everybody in my office building jumped up and ran to the windows.
Right.
Because we were just getting hammered. And over on the western side of the like Centennial and those kind of areas, just got hammered with hail. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. I posted a picture on Facebook, as a matter of fact, of our backyard. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And the worst part was that the first wave came in, dumped hail, kind of cleared up a little bit, and then the second wave came in. So we got hammered twice, actually.
And I mean, people don't understand. We're talking windows blown out of cars.
Yes.
There was an auto body shop in Centennial. Or no, it was – oh, it was – that's right. They're having a sale now. There was a car dealership.
Yes.
500 cars were damaged by hail, and the windows in their auto body shop got broken out by the hail. That's how crazy it was.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. But this is a good time to buy a car.
It is, yes.
So if you're looking for a car and you don't mind a few dimples,
and
this is the time.
It's almost like it's the perfect setting for an urban fantasy series.
Right.
Denver. Like no one's ever thought of that.
I love snow days. I love snow days. That just because the snow, for some reason, triggers my imagination.
Really? Interesting.
Yes, even more than the hail.
Well, I remember talking with Nancy Hightower. And Nancy I don't know if she still is because she moved to New York, but she was a professor at UC Boulder, and she's a writer. And in one of her books, she talked about the swirls of snow that you see on the road.
Oh, yes.
But you don't really see a lot of other places. For some reason, people think that it's like a Colorado thing.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I've always lived, well, I was born on the East Coast, moved to the West Coast. So I really didn't have much experience with snow until we moved to Colorado. Mm-hmm. And moving to Denver from San Diego was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But I like it. I like Colorado. We've been here 20 years now, so I guess I'd better.
So I've talked about this before. Coming from California myself, growing up in Fresno, you leave California and you have a hard time finding good Mexican food.
Oh, I still haven't found good Mexican food here.
It's completely different.
It's completely different. And when I go back to San Diego, we're from San Diego. I still have family and friends there. And the first thing my sister and I, or anyone that I'm visiting and I do, is go to Casa de Pico for Mexican food. That's the first thing we do. It doesn't matter if I get in at 6 a.m. I have to get that fixed.
You know what? This is interesting because when I write stuff, so I'm part of several writing groups in the Denver area and Colorado Springs area, and I will interject food into my stories, and people will ask me all the time if I'm hungry. Are you hungry when you're writing music? But for me, you know, it's like food is part of the human experience, and it's just like you're talking about. You have a specific place that you like to go to when you head home to San Diego.
Yes,
there are places that my family, you know, I've talked about barbecue. My family, if they go to Kentucky, if they go to Paducah, there's only one place that they will go and eat to get barbecue. Harnids, and that's it.
You know, now barbecue, I thought, was a forbidden subject.
It is. But okay, Patrick. I tease that. I know. But yeah, you know, and I remember when we first moved from Chicago to California, everybody missed White Castle.
You know what? And I don't get that. Now, maybe because I've never had a fresh White Castle burger, but the things that you get in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what? I don't get it.
To be honest with you, no one's ever had a fresh White Castle.
Oh.
they've been sitting there for a while by the time you get to them. No, I understand completely what you're saying. You know, and but it's funny because it's just part of the human experience. It's food. And so sure. When people come to Denver to Mile High Con, for example, I do like to, you know, try to get people to go to different places and try some different things here. So for example, last year, Shauna McGuire and Kat Valenti,
yes,
and David Boop and myself and some other folks, we went to the Buckhorn Exchange.
Ah.
Now you have to be a carnivore.
Yeah, but I don't know. The Buckhorn Exchange to me is just creepy. All those dusty old animal heads, you know, hanging over you while you're eating. Yes. I don't know. I know it is an experience, and I know it's a major tourist stop, but that place gives me the creeps. I just have to say.
What about Bojo's?
Well, I consider myself kind of a pizza connoisseur, mm-hmm. and I still haven't found the perfect pizza place here. I don't like the paper thin crust, but I like thin crust pizza, and I like good sauce. And to me, sauces are either too sweet or please don't put pineapple and ham on a pizza. That is not a pizza.
No.
Oh, good. I'm glad we agree.
Yes,
I agree
do.
With that.
Yes.
I did just go, and I'm not going to remember the name of it, but it's off of Colfax. It's a brand new pizza place that opened up, and Angie Hodapp and Warren Hammond took me to that pizza place this weekend, and I had Chicago style pizza, the real Chicago style pizza with the like cheese on the bottom. I guess that's
there's a couple of different reels. There's a couple of different reels. Yeah.
Well, I had never had that before, and it was excellent.
So what you're talking about is they did the deep dish where they put the dough goes in first, and then the cheese goes on the bottom, and then the sauce and different things.
Yes.
And they build it up like a pie. Yeah, I've seen
exactly.
That one. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's okay, old school. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was told that was the real Chicago style pizza.
There's a couple different kinds. There's a place, we won't tell people where you live, but not far from your house off of University by Arapahoe High School, there's a little hole in the wall place there that also does a Chicago style pizza.
Oh, okay. What's the name of it? Go ahead. Tell people.
I have to look it up because
I know. See, that's like me too. I know I'll go to a place and I could take you there. But if you ask me, well, what's the name of it? It's like, I don't know. I know how to get there. I don't know what the name of it is.
And you know what? And I used to eat there all the time. And what they do is they do the other style of Chicago, which is you put your dough, your sauce, all your toppings, and then your cheese on top, and then you cut it into squares.
Oh.
And I got to remember the name of that place, and I'll have to look it up and get it to you. So now that we've completely told people about all of our favorite pizza places and stops in Denver, I want to know about your Mile High Con experiences. How many have you gone to?
Oh, I think I've probably gone to 7 or 8.
Oh, Mile interesting. High Cons. Okay.
Yeah, quite a few. When I first started publishing, I think it was in 2004, and that might have been my first one. Now, I didn't go every year, but the last maybe, I don't know, 5 years, I've just made it a point to go because I really like it. I like the flavor of the con. I like the way it's friendly. I like the size of the con. And a lot of my writer pals go to it. Okay. So, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times I only see certain writers at certain conferences that I attend. Sure. So that makes it fun. That makes it fun. And I really like, I like smaller groups. I like being able to, when I'm on a panel or doing anything at a conference, I like it to be small enough that there can be give and take between the audience and the panel members. And Mile High Con is really good about that.
I've had a lot of fun there. You know, yes. It's I think it's it could be an underrated con.
Yes.
You get a lot of really good names. You know, it was either last year or the year before, Rose who runs and
great.
Does all the programming.
Yes.
Scared the crap out of me because she sent me an email that said C. Willis was going to be on one of my panels that I was moderating. and there's two C. Willises.
Oh.
Yes.
I know Connie.
There's Connie and her husband.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, which one is it? Do I need to be really nervous or just really, really nervous? But yeah, you know, you get people like Connie Willis and Carol Berg.
Oh yeah,
and Paolo Bacigalupi comes in.
Yes,
and you get all of these people. This year we're having Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank. Which
yes.
if you take the letters in their name and you rearrange them, they spell out James S. A. Corey.
Oh.
And
now, how long did it take you to figure that out? Did you sit there with what do you call it? What's that game? Scrabble pieces?
Yeah, Boggle.
No,
oh, Scrabble?
Scrabble, yeah. Where you know,
yeah, you just
anagrams so you can make all. So that's pretty good. That's very good, Patrick.
I try.
Yeah.
I typically end up on, you know, the podcasting panel, you know, talking yes. about actually doing podcasting. But it's great. And they have, just like some of your very large regional cons, you know, they've got multiple tracks. You've got a literary track. You've got a gaming track. They talk about RPGs and that kind of stuff. There's all this stuff going on. You've got the costumes. You've got, they do Rocky Horror.
Yeah,
you know, you name it, it's going on. So it's a great con. Do you have a favorite like Mile High Con moment? Ooh,
actually, I think I do because Rose put me on a panel once, and it was called it was something challenge. It was some kind of challenge, and I had no idea what this was all about. And it turns out that it was a Buffy Angel challenge.
Ooh.
And you had to pick your favorite character, and then you had to defend it. You had to defend why that character was better than any of the other characters. Like, for instance, Angel versus Spike. You had to defend one or the other.
Oh.
And then it was also audience participation. And that was so much fun. And I had no idea what it was going into it. You know, I saw my name on this panel. And I thought, oh, you know, what is it? I didn't know. But it turned out that it was really fun.
I'm sorry. I just thought you could pick any character. But no, you're saying it was always versus?
Yeah, it was always versus. Okay. You know, to, you know, Buffy versus Faith or Angel versus Spike, and you know, and you had to defend why you chose one or the other. And if someone defended the other better, and it was like the audience decided better than you were defending your character, then that person from the audience came up and took your place, and you had to go sit in the audience and you start all over again.
That's awesome.
it was so much fun, and I like things like that. It's so much better than just a really structured panel where you're really just talking to people. You know, I would rather talk with them.
Sure. Well, and for the record, you know, the best character obviously is Wesley Wyndham Price. So.
Oh yeah, he is very good. I have to say,
The best story arc.
If we get talking about Joss Whedon, this is going to go on for a long time because he's, you know, to me, he is just a character master.
I believe you respond to my post on Facebook today about who's going to Mile High Con? Yes, I did. And if you look on my page, my banner on my page says that Joss Whedon is my master now.
Oh, that's wonderful. You have very good taste.
I do. So that's your favorite moment. Now, what are you looking forward to this year? Obviously you're going to be Toastmaster. What's involved with that?
Well, it's going to be interesting because this is the first time I've ever been a Toastmaster. So I'm going to be kind of learning on the job, but I've been trying to, you know, get information from other people. Now, what did you do when you were a Toastmaster? But basically, I think in the opening ceremony, I'll be introducing the guests, and then I'll be on, you know, doing different things during the con as Rose, whatever she wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be emceeing the costume parade, the costume contest.
Okay.
Now this is going to be fun because I don't know all of these superheroes. I mean, it's crazy. I go to some San Diego Comic Con, for instance, and half of the costumes, I don't really recognize. I don't know who they're supposed to be. But Rose told me not to worry that I will have a cheat sheet. So
I could totally be your cheat sheet.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you stand up there with me, Patrick.
You stand
up there with me, and we can – good. That's excellent because I thought, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to say to somebody, oh, what a great Alice in Wonderland, and it turns out to be something else entirely. So, you know.
No, and that's awesome because I've seen the costume parade thing and it's just there's, you know, when people are going off on stage and they're having the contest, it's just out the door and it goes on forever. And I love it that there are so many kids involved.
Exactly.
And, you know, the parents get the kids involved and the kids are all dressed up and you can tell they're having a blast. It's a great experience.
And I have to say, that is one of the things that I enjoy so much about this kind of conference. I love seeing how the families get involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll have a whole family dressed up and he'll be Superman and she'll be Superwoman and the two little kids will be something else. And I love that. And I also like the fact that this is a chance for people to shine in a way that they don't maybe ever get to do. They get to wear their costumes. They get to fly their geek flag. And, you know, I really enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot.
So, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And I like the way people that go to these cons too. There's certain, I mean, yes, there are exceptions. There are always crazy exceptions. But for the most part, people are so respectful of each other. You know, they're there to have a good time and they're there to have fun. And it's just a good atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere.
It is. And now you said you've been to 7 or 8. Have they all been there in the tech center?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Yes. Oh, but I do have a funny story though. And one of the Mile High Cons, you know, the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers usually has their conference at one hotel. It's a Renaissance hotel out by, you know, Old Stapleton, you know, out that way.
Oh, I-70 in Quebec?
Yeah,
I've been there. Quebec.
And then Mile High Con is usually at the Denver Tech Center. Well, I was going to Mile High Con one year and I drove all the way out to the Renaissance. And I walked in and I looked around and I said, where's the conference? Yeah. They were very nice at the desk and said, no, there's no conference here. I think you have the wrong hotel. And then it hit me. Oh my God. It was just so automatic for me to drive out to where Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers has their conference that I just
If that's the same hotel I'm thinking of, three or four years ago, the company that I was working for, we had our Christmas party there.
Oh, okay.
And as the marketing director, I was in charge of everything. And so we were having a casino night. And basically, I had gone out and bought all these really cool gifts. And the casino thing was, you know, the more you won, you got raffle tickets. And then yes. You could put them in the boxes to get the different prizes, you know, gifts that we had, the big dollar items.
Yeah.
But we're there and everybody's dressed up. It's the dead of winter. It was like one of the coldest days of the year that night. And I want to say it was like 16 below.
Oh, wow. That's cold.
And something triggered the fire alarm.
Oh,
and in that hotel, what it does is it opens up all these vents and it lets in fresh air from outside for some reason, like venting everything. And so people are coming in, everybody is having to stay bundled up because the whole lobby area where all the trees and decorations and stuff were, all of that was the same temperature as outside because all these things were open and they were scrambling to get the fire department to come and turn everything off. And it was very funny. Very funny. Anyway, so yes, Mile High Con is held in the Denver Tech Center, and people always go, "What's the Denver Tech Center?" And it's this neat little place right off of Village Green, or part of Village Green.
Yes.
And it's this neat little technological center, and it's like high rises that aren't part of downtown, and there's hotels, and it's all very cool. And that's where it's held every year so far. That I've been here.
And restaurants.
Yes.
There are a lot of restaurants around.
Yes. You can go to Shanahan's. You can go to Del Fresco's is right there. I'm thinking of all the expensive places.
Yeah, Garcia's.
Okay.
Garcia's is the Mexican place. And we usually end up going there at least once. And it's passable Mexican, but, you know, it's not Southern California.
I remember the name of the pizza place. It's called Niccolo's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Niccolo's. They do Chicago-style pizzas.
Well. I even know where it is. I can see it in my head.
Yep,
it's right in one of the strip malls.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So Toastmaster duties are gonna obviously be keeping you busy.
Right.
And just so people understand, I mean, this is a con. There's parties. There's publishers here. There's a dealer's room. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So we've talked a lot about Mile High Con. That's just because I want people to go. And experience the same thing that we've experienced. It's a nice con. It's a really good group of people.
It is a good group of people.
Now, I also like to know a little bit more about Gene and your books.
Okay.
So we've talked a little bit about Anna Strong in your bio.
Yes.
Who's your publisher number one?
Ace Books, Penguin.
Okay. And who's
for the Anna Strong series.
Okay.
For the new series, it's still Penguin Books, but it's Rock, the Rock imprint,
okay,
rather than Ace.
Gotcha.
And yeah.
Who's your editor over at Ace?
Jessica Wade.
And is she also editing the other books?
Yes.
And the reason I ask is because I have a hard time. I never know who's editing what, and come award season, I never know who to nominate. So I like to ask about editors. So is your experience with your editor a good one? Do you enjoy working with her?
I do enjoy working with her. You know, the publishing business is changing. There's so much going on.
No.
Yes, you know that. You know, and it's just like any other business. It seems like as the big houses consolidate, they don't really hire that many new people, and so the editors get busier and busier and busier. And the only, the only thing that I kind of find difficult is that there's a lag. Okay, let me back up here a minute. Let me say that, you know, the general idea is that from the time your book gets accepted to the time it's published, it usually takes about 2 years.
Right.
Well, it shouldn't. You know, and it's really hard because I know that the editors are very, very busy, but at the rate we're writing sometimes, it just seems like there shouldn't be that much of a lag time. Because I know readers want books. They don't want to wait two years for the next book to come out. They want to, and obviously they want a book right away. But I don't know. I don't know. I like my editor very much. I think she's overworked. And I think that's, you know, sometimes I don't get to talk to her as quickly as I would like to.
Sure.
I have to be politic about this, you know, sure. Because as you said, this is going to be on the air forever.
No, so. It's fine. And you're right. I mean, everything is changing and people, you know, the demand for the fiction is changing as well as people, the way they consume things changes.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very true. And so as a result, The series that I'm writing with Samantha Summersby under the pseudonym S.J. Harper, we've decided that we're going to, since our books will come out one a year, we're going to put out a novella in between times.
Oh, wow.
So our first book, Curse, came out last October. And then we have Captured, which is a novella free on Amazon, Captured by S.J. Harper, mm-hmm. Little promotion there, which is the prequel to the first book. So then in 7 days, the second book of that series comes out, Reckoning. And 6 months from then, we're going to have another novella.
When you talk about days, you're talking October 7th.
It's October 7th in a week, about a week.
The as we're recording
Reckoning.
This. Yep,
Reckoning is coming out. Yeah. Oh, yes.
We do
a
timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly thing here.
Okay. Okay.
So October 7th. So do this. Give us your pitch. What is this book about? What is this series about?
It's called the Fallen Siren series, and our protagonist is a fallen siren, one of the three original sirens cursed by Demeter for losing Persephone to Hades.
Okay.
And her curse, she and her two sisters are cursed to live life as mortals until Demeter forgives them and allows them back into the fold. So one of the ways that Siren redeems herself is by, in our world, is by saving other women. So our character, Emma Monroe, works as an FBI agent in this lifetime. She works as an FBI agent in the FBI Kidnap and Missing Persons Bureau. She works out of the San Diego office, and our books involve women in jeopardy. Our books are missing women cases and that she solves. And we've tried to make the FBI part of it as realistic as we possibly could. I mean, we've done a lot of research into the way FBI handles missing person cases. So it's kind of a police procedural, paranormal, little romance there between Emma and her partner. You know, we've tried to combine, which is the beauty of urban fantasy, we've tried to combine a lot of different genres: mystery, paranormal romance, the urban fantasy, a police procedural. So we feel like there's a little something for everyone in these books. And Emma is not a heroine in the same way that Anna Strong was a heroine. Anna Strong was a vampire, so of course she has superhuman strength, and there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different variables at play here in her adventures. So Emma is actually a mortal, lives as a mortal, excuse me. She is immortal, but if she gets shot or beat up or hurt, she heals just like a person would with time and pain. So she doesn't have the, you know, she has no superpowers. She just has her brain and her instincts.
Gotcha. She's Henry Pym in the West Coast Avengers.
That's it. You got it.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Well, I hope it is. I hope people like it. It seems to have been very well received, so I'm happy about that. It's, you know, it's always scary. No matter how many books you've published, it's always scary when you're coming out with something different.
Sure. But it sounds like, do you get to play with some Greek mythology?
Yes. Awesome. Yes. And we have, and we're going to bring more and more Greek mythology. And the first one touches on it. You see Demeter, but she doesn't play as big a role as she does in Reckoning. She plays a very dirty trick on our fallen siren. in Reckoning. So, but it is, it's great fun. Great fun to write.
I want
to
say it was like fourth grade, possibly fifth grade. I got my grubby, dirty little hands on a copy of Bullfinch's Mythology, and I never let it go.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I still have it.
Those are the things I know. Those are the wonderful, that's a wonderful thing about books. You know, you, when you recognize something, when you get something for the first time, it's like opening up a new world to you. And it's, I think that's what I like so much about writing. And that's what I like so much about reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now you've got 9 books in the Anna Strong series so far.
Yes. 9 in the Anna Strong series, and then 2 in this one. Mm-hmm. And then I've put up a couple of, like every other author I know, I've played around with a little bit of self-publishing. I put a couple of things up on Amazon. One is an Anna Strong novella, and the other is just a straight mystery. I've always wanted to do just straight mysteries, and so I'm kind of working on that too. And since my publisher and my agent seem to want to keep me in the paranormal romance urban fantasy genre, you know, that it's funny because I love the fact, it's my dream was to get published, and I've been published, and I have, you know, these books to show for it, and it makes me very proud. But I want to do different things, and a lot of times you get kind of put into a cubbyhole, and you know, I guess that's why I enjoy so much the fact that the publishing world is changing so much, because you do have, an author has a chance now to stretch your wings, you know, to try different things. It's, you don't lose anything by doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's a very exciting time to be a writer.
Yes, it is. Now, I wouldn't be me if I didn't ask, what do you write in?
Right this minute, what am I writing?
No, what do you write in?
Oh, what do I write?
What's your preference?
Oh, I was gonna say, what do I write in? You mean pajamas? What are we talking about here? Okay. No, I write on a MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking on now.
Yep.
I write in Pages, because now I can, when I have to sell my manuscripts to editors in Word. Mm-hmm. In doc, I should say, you know, right. And I'm a Luddite. I don't know all this. I don't know if I'm even using the right terminology, but Mac has made it so easy, because I write in Pages, and then I just convert it, export it to a Word file, and send it off.
Yeah,
it couldn't be any easier.
We're gonna hang out, and I'm gonna teach you how you can put Scrivener on that MacBook Pro and just blow your mind. Okay.
Okay. So. Good. All right. Let's. We'll do that at Mile High Con.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So Anna Strong, 9 books, 2 books so far in the Fallen Siren series. And you say that you want to stretch out. You did the mystery. What else do you want to stretch your wings out into? Is there other, you know, do you want to write a space opera? Are you interested in sword and sorcery? I mean, what else are you looking to be able to write in?
You know, I would love to write a space opera. The problem with writing space operas is that I don't have that much of an imagination. Mm-hmm. And it frustrates me, because I'd love to do something like that. I'd like to write in Star Wars world or in Star Trek world, but you know, all the good people are already writing in those worlds, and I don't have anything new to add.
It's actually hard to get into those worlds now.
Well, yeah, it's probably true. Yeah, I'm not saying it's probably true. It is absolutely true. I know that you're right. I'd like to try my hand at a Victorian. I have this idea in my head about a protagonist who is a Victorian woman who has a brain and wants to use it. And, you know, there was so much going on in that era. So much was discovered. And, you know, it would just be fun. I'd like to write a World War I novel. I've been playing with that idea for years and years and years. So yeah, I keep telling myself when I retire, I'm going to do that. But I'll tell you, writing is amazing. I work harder at writing than I ever did at an 8-to-5 job. It's just, you know, it's the best job. I always say it's the best job I've ever had. And it's also the hardest.
I understand. I do. I was gonna caution you not to, you know, give out your juicy ideas to people, but no, that was pretty general enough that I don't think anyone's gonna go out there and steal it from you.
Oh, good. No, yeah, World War One novel. Go ahead.
So, are you gonna be doing any author readings or signings or anything like that when you're at Mile High Con?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a panel called Gene Stein and Friends, and you are welcome to be one of my friends if you'd like.
Aww.
And a lot of the authors in my critique group and things are going to be there for that hour. So we're just going to play around with stuff. We may read a little bit. We may just talk and, you know, just have fun.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so I want to start wrapping this up a little bit because I promised you around 30 minutes. So I did want to throw out there, as far as Mile High Con is concerned, there are tons of stuff going on. You already mentioned the masquerade, and which is, you know, cosplay and in the costume contest.
Yes,
you got Critter Crunch. You've got the art auction,
yes.
Autograph Alley, and there's going to be two musical performances on Friday. Quantum Menace will be there. And on Saturday night, Mark Putt's Sci-Fi Explosion is going to be there.
Oh, we're going to have fun.
The Foglios are coming. They're the artists, guests of honors, I believe. And
yes.
They're going to be performing a live radio play called Girl Genius Takes Over the Airways.
Oh, wow.
So there's tons of things going on. And just so people understand, I'm not getting paid or anything by Mile High Con. It's just Rose said, hey, would you mind helping, you know, promote a little bit? And I said, absolutely not. I'd love to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's dirt cheap to come. I think it's $50 or maybe even $45, you know, for a 3-day registration fee at the door or something like that. You know, you can come in and go. And so it's just wonderful. So, you know, get all that out of the way. Now, Gene. What's your website?
My website, well, I have genestein.com, but right now that's under construction. So, but all my information can be found on fallensiren.com.
Okay. And we need to tell people your name is, there's two N's. So it's JeanStein. Yes. And you're on the Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. And as a matter of fact, if you go to the Fallen Siren, there are direct links to Facebook and Twitter.
Wonderful.
So you can reach us. And I can always be reached by email at gene@genestein.com.
Okay. But if folks want some autographed books, they should come to Mile High Con, or they should just reach out to you through your website.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to tell folks before I let you go?
I just want to tell you that if you do come to Mile High Con, please come up and say hello at some point. And you know, we can have a beer maybe.
And as always, I require cookies.
So. Oh, cookies are right. I'll remember that. I'll bring cookies.
Okay. And actually, last year, Mile High Con fell on my birthday. And when I showed up to register, they had cupcakes for me and birthday signs and all kinds of stuff. It was awesome.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes, they take care of you. They take care of you there. It's a great thing.
They do.
There'll be whole sessions on role-playing. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. So just come. Just come to Mile High Con. Hang out with us. You know, it's just a couple days out of your life. It's worth it. It's worth it. Come hang out.
And it renews your spirit, believe me.
It does, yes. Because especially if you're someone like me who works in an industry where science fiction and fantasy is not very prevalent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you go to something like this. Yes, you go to something like this. It's like, oh, my people.
I know, exactly. Exactly. You found your tribe.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, Gene, I want to thank you for coming on. This has been a wonderful chat, and I can't wait to meet you in person at Mile High Con.
We'll make it a point. Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends and so on and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day. from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF&F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.